Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Today I'll have my chat with Parkbound Casey, who is leaving Orlando. That's coming up on this episode 252 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 252. So today is another interview episode, and it is with Parkbound Casey, who her name is Casey. She runs a business called Parkbound Buttons, which you may be familiar with if you've ever shopped for merchandise in the Disney niche. And she started her business before she moved to Orlando. Then she lived in Orlando, and I talked to her in May just before she left. So that is going to be, this is going to be my chat with her about what it was like to live there and why she's leaving. Before I dive into my chat with her, I just want to remind to follow on social media. It is WDW Prep School on all platforms. That includes Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook page, Instagram. Did I miss any? I think that's it. Somebody came across me on accident on Twitter and said, "Oh my gosh, I listen to your podcast all the time. I didn't even know you were on Twitter." I'm like, I say it at the beginning of almost every episode. I'm not kidding. I'm really there if you would like to follow. So be sure to do that. And I'd love to talk to you outside the podcast. So without any further ado, here is my chat with Casey.
Welcome to the podcast, Casey.
Thank you for having me.
For people who don't know who you are, can you introduce yourself and what you do?
Sure. My name is Casey, and I run a small shop where I make fun celebrating buttons for your day in the park. My shop is called Parkbound Buttons, and you may also know me from Instagram. My Instagram is Casey and the Bear. So I post a lot of Disney content living in Orlando and just being a huge Disney fan.
Yes, I think you make the best buttons, if I may
know
myself. I know that Disney has tried to create their own, but the problem is they can never be as funny as you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I love about my buttons is just that I can be, you know, I can put the humor into it, you know, just add some pop culture, add some, you know, humor and make them really fun, but also still like park appropriate.
Yes, you walk that line very, very well. All right. So I want to talk about that some more, but let's go back a little bit. You and I met several years ago at Disneyland. We were watching World of Color. I was on Periscope. These were back in the Periscope days.
Yeah.
And you were waiting and you had your buttons there and I knew who you were. And so that was fun to run into you there. And so back then, I can't remember how long ago that was, but it's been several years. You were living in Arkansas and you were doing Parkbound Buttons. But where were you? Were you doing it full time? How did you start up?
So for about a year, I was doing it as a side gig. I had a full-time job, but I had started making the buttons back in March of 2014. So for about a year, I was just doing it for fun and just to supplement my income. Literally, I started doing it because I was using it to save for Disney trips. So basically all the money that went into or that I got from Parkbound, I was spending it going to Disney. So, you know, living in Arkansas, I was like, oh, I really want to be by Disney. So I would always travel to either Disneyland or Disney World once the business really took off. So about a year after that, I quit my full-time job because I had saved up a bunch of money and I looked at it and I was like, well, I think I can do it. Like, you know, there's only a couple times, you know, there's only a couple times that maybe in your life that you can say like, I'm going to just quit and do it and try it. So I did that. And so in June of 2015, I quit my job. And so I made this my full-time job. So we probably met probably right after that, or maybe a year after that, once I was full-time and going to Disneyland more. But yeah, so it took me about a year to really have it take off to where I could quit and make it full-time. But yeah, once it did, it was great. I mean, I was able to travel more and I was able to just be super creative. And, you know, I wasn't spending, like, I would be at work just thinking about how I needed to go home and work on buttons. So it was really nice to dedicate all of my energy to buttons.
It's funny that you say that, because my trajectory was sort of similar, because it was also a year for me. And when I was at my corporate job, I would be listening to podcasts about like how to run businesses. Like I was always, my mind was always somewhere else. And then, right. So it is nice to get to do it full time, because it's a lot to manage all at once.
Mm-hmm. I remember just going, I would go home from work and I'd be like, oh, I have so much work to do now on my business. So it was great to be able to just do that. But yeah, for a while I was doing both, and it was, once it really took off, it was hard to do both.
So June 2015, it becomes full-time and you start to travel more often. Am I wrong in saying that you were traveling about once a month?
Oh, you're not wrong.
Okay.
That is completely right. Usually about once a month, I was either at Disney World or Disneyland. I had passes for both. Sometimes it would take like a month. I remember I wasn't going to Disney World in the summer because it was hot and rainy. I remember I always took the summers off, kind of. But yeah, I was going like once a month.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I worked up to. That's what I did last year. But I remember watching you doing it, and I thought, how does she do that? Because I couldn't quite figure out. I always thought somebody else knew a secret to like how they could afford to go, or how they could, you know, pull it off. I've asked multiple people, how did you pull that off? And then I eventually did it too. And there is no secret. You just have to do it.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's also just, you know, using the business to use the points from the card to get the, you know, to get the mileage, to make the flights, and, you know, having friends that are cast members that could, you know, we could split a room at, you know, one of the resorts for a while. Like that was something that I was doing. I was just trying to go as cheap as possible. So if I had a cast member friend that, you know, we could split the room, then it made it so much cheaper, because, you know, they would have like special rates or something like that, or pass holder rates. I was always researching some sort of discount.
Where there's a will, there's a way. I have a travel agency that helps.
I know, I may need that soon.
Yes. You just have to figure it out. There's no real like hidden secrets to it. But so you started going more often. And then so for a few years, that's kind of how it went, right? You lived in Arkansas, you were married, then you did this full time and you traveled a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for like 2015, once I quit my job, and then until 2018, I was going like all the time, and from Arkansas. And the airport in Arkansas, in Northwest Arkansas, is very tiny. So a lot of times I would be driving 2 hours to Tulsa to take a plane out of Tulsa to go to Disney World, stay at Disney World for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, fly home to Tulsa at like usually midnight, and then drive 2 hours home. Mm-hmm. Like now I just can't even imagine that. Like it's so much. It's crazy to think about, but you know, it was a couple years ago. I felt a little younger then, but
yeah, I was just going to say that it sounds like you've gotten older because there's a lot of things I can't do now that I used to do. So,
yeah, I mean, and when it came to going to Disney, it was like, yeah, that's fine. I don't care. I mean, it was a cheaper flight. So yeah, I'll drive 2 hours there and 2 hours back at midnight. I mean, that's nothing. I'll just get like some caffeine and it'll be fine. And now I'm like, how much is it to fly to the closer airport? Okay, yes, that's fine.
That's right. You prioritize things over money.
Yeah.
Schedules. Yeah. I'm all about the schedules.
So
then a couple years ago, you did what a lot of Disney fans dream of doing, and you moved to Orlando.
Yeah, I made the leap. And it was all kind of very just really one night. I was thinking about it. And I was in the process of getting divorced, and I was in Arkansas, and I'm like, well, I own my own business. I'm not, you know, I don't have any family here. There's really nothing tying me to here. And so all my family's like, great, you're coming home. And I'm like, oh, I don't think so. I think I'm going to go live in Disney World. So I literally just one night I started looking up. I hadn't really thought about it, but I started looking up apartments and rent houses around, you know, around Disney World, and just started looking, and I was like, I guess I'm doing this. So one day I just kind of announced it, and everyone's like, yeah, that sounds about right. So, and then a couple months later, I was packing up me and my cat and driving to Orlando.
Yes. And so your plan was to continue doing your business full time and then to be in Orlando, which would cut down on your travel because you'll already be there.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it in a way that like, okay, if I'm coming here every month, my flight, my hotel, my Ubers, that's basically my rent. So it just made sense. And also it would really help me with content for my business. Just being able to be there and, you know, make everything or, you know, do content there. It just, at the time, that's what made sense. And I had friends that were moving out here. So it really was perfect because like my friends are, you know, I really consider them my family. And so I really needed to be close to someone at that time, just because it's like, oh, I'm getting divorced. And so it's like, I don't want to be somewhere where I don't have any friends close by. So, that's why I chose to go to Florida. And yeah.
I know living in Orlando has had lots of ups and downs for you, and I want to talk about that. But I'm curious, with your business, when you moved to Orlando, how did that change? Like, did it improve things? Did it get harder? Like, how did that work for you?
It really helped with content. It was great to just be there, and it's like, okay, what do I need to promote this week or month? So I could literally just grab 6 buttons, stick them in my backpack, and drive over to Disney and get the photos that I needed. You know, I could just pop in, get what I needed, and then I had content for, you know, 2 weeks. Whereas before, it was like I was coming here on a trip and I was trying to get everything I needed. And it was just nice to be local. And so I was kind of more of a, I don't want to say a fixture in the park, because not that many people know me, but you know, it was just like people could see me at the parks and know that, you know, it really helped my brand, knowing that like, oh, like, yeah, she's just like a normal person and she likes everything we like. And so it was also nice just to have that content of me being at the parks, because that's what a lot of people want to see whenever they're, you know, planning their trips. People always love, oh, I love when you do your stories here. I love when you do this, because, you know, I miss Disney right now. And so then it kind of would put in people's heads, oh, yeah, like she's having a great time and she has these buttons. I need to get buttons and then they'll be great on my trip. So it was really nice for that, just to have, to not have to think about it whenever I was traveling, is I was having to make every trip a work trip. And so now I could have work days and then I could have fun days where I just like, you know, run to the park at 7:30 and get a couple drinks and then go home.
Yeah. So it was good for content because you didn't have to focus everything in 4-day trips per month or whatever.
Yeah.
Did your sales go up accordingly, or did it just, was it just the content?
Well, so whenever I got here, it was spring of 2018. And I will say that ever since I've been here, that it's been going down. But that's honestly just been how a lot of small shops have been in the last couple of years, because I was among the first to have shops back in 2014. So 2014 to 2017 were really like, once people started, you know, a lot more shops were coming up on the game and, you know, making this trajectory up. And then we all kind of, there were so many shops. So, I mean, people only have so much, you know, money that they're using to pay, you know, buy all of their Disney trinkets. So it was definitely harder at times, just because it's like, okay, what I'm selling, you don't necessarily need. It's definitely fun to have it in the parks, and I understood that. So there was a point where I was like, oh yeah, I always knew this wasn't going to always be a forever, like, full-time job. And then I, you know, started having to think of new ways to advertise things and market things, and then also thinking about if I needed to get a full-time job again, so that I could, you know, do both.
Yeah. Okay. So moving there in itself didn't boost sales because overall you had more competition.
Yeah. Just because the timing, just, you know, right around 2018, it's like there was so many shops and there's so many good, you know, there's so much good stuff out there. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're all kind of fighting for the same dollars.
Yeah, I can totally see that. So you get there, and I know that you have experimented with different job statuses. Like, let me try this part-time, let me try this full-time. So what was your first, like, change after you moved to Orlando?
So I did a lot of once I had been in Orlando a little less than a year, I started looking for a full-time job. I almost forgot I had a 2-week employment at Universal Studios the summer of 2018. I thought, this will be fun. I can, like, be around people. I can work at the parks. It'll just be part-time. It'll be fun. It was not for me. I will say, because it was 35 hours a week, and I was still doing my buttons so much that, like, it was so hard to, like, try and work at a theme park and then also do this, because I would just come home super exhausted. And so I only lasted 2 weeks at Universal.
I didn't know it was only 2 weeks. I remember when you worked there.
Yeah, it was, I mean, with training, it may have been 3 weeks, but I definitely was, like, only front facing, like, in front of guests for probably a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks.
Well, you tried it. Okay, yeah. So you had a couple weeks at Universal, and then and then you did something else after that?
So after that, I didn't have a full-time job again I didn't have a job other than doing buttons. But I started applying for a bunch of jobs, and I was kind of trying to decide where I wanted to live in Orlando, because that was another big thing about living in Orlando. Is Orlando is giant. It is massive. It is not just, you know, it's so, like, vast where you can live. And so I was living in Davenport, which is about 15-20 minutes from the parks, but that's also like 45 minutes from, like, downtown Orlando. I was applying for a bunch of jobs back in my field. My field that I was before buttons was journalism and ad PR. I did a lot of work in communications and social media and things like that. So I was looking for jobs like that, and I went on a bunch of interviews, and none of them were really panning out. And then it wasn't until June or July of last, I think it was the end of June of last year, I had a friend who her husband, he was like, hey, the company that I work for, we're looking for someone to do, you know, social media. And I know you have experience in that. And I know you've done stuff like this in the past. You should apply. So I applied and I got a job. I got a full-time job and it's my full-time job now. And I've been there since I started in August of 2019. So I really didn't have that many jobs in between. I really just did buttons and my little universal time until I got this job last July. But I've been there. It's crazy to think in August it'll be a year. It doesn't feel like it, but yeah. So since then I've been a marketing coordinator for a company here in Orlando.
How hard was it to go from being your own boss to working for somebody else again?
Oh. It was really hard because there's so many things you have to think about. I did not have any work clothes because the last time I had a work job, you know, a full-time job where I had to wear, you know, business casual or anything was in 2015. So I had to buy all new clothes. So that was annoying. I had to buy all new clothes and then it was like, oh, now I have to think about like having a normal schedule because when you work for yourself, you're working at 8 p.m. at night, midnight, whenever whenever something is happening, you're working or you're thinking about something or you slept in and, you know, so now having to be on a normal schedule again and then, you know, just think about like, oh, I have to ask for time off and like I have to, you know, I don't have any time off yet or... But, you know, it's just like getting back in the flow of that. So, I mean, it had been like 4 years since I'd had to really think about it or have coworkers or, you know, things like that. And I'm sure people are like, oh, you know, poor you. But
not me. I understand it. It's weird to go from being able to, like, if you're running your business, you think of an idea, you can implement it. If it's midnight, Saturday, you know, like anytime you want to work, you can. There's a downside to that, though. You know, it takes over your life because you never are off work.
Right. Yeah. And so now I have my full-time job, but I still do Park Bound. And when I first started at the job, it was really taking a toll on me just to like, I was like, well, like all my energy is on this job right now. Like I really don't have any energy to put towards Park Bound. So they were just, you know, I really slowed down on content because I was going to the parks at night, you know, so I wasn't getting like those nice day pictures or things like that. So it really was a balance of trying to get back to, you know, where I, you know, if I was feeling up to it, going to the park on the weekends and getting some photos or content and promoting things. Because there would just be times where like, oh, I should really like make something for this event that's happening or, oh, I should really start thinking about this. I'm like, oh, but I'm so stressed from work or, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do it now. But really like, you know, if once I, when I get those little like bursts of creativity going for them and then doing both, it's just, you know, a lot of time management.
Yeah. It's just very different, but. It sounds like you've adjusted.
Yeah, it took me a while, but I got there.
You got there. Was it better? Do you feel better, like mental health wise, this way, or did it not have an effect?
Oh, I definitely feel better. Just because it's like I'm, you know, before whenever I was doing my business and I had a partner, you know, I was on his insurance, so it was like. I'm covered there. I've got my insurance. I'm good. And then once we got divorced and I moved here, I was like, oh, I don't have insurance anymore. I have to go through the marketplace. And that's really expensive for not very great coverage. You know, it's just if you're, you know, working for yourself, it's like, that's one thing you have to worry about. So once I got my full-time job, it's like, I was so excited to have benefits again. I was telling everyone, I'm like, yeah, I got dental, I got medical. I'm contributing to my HSA. Like, I was so excited. So it was really nice to kind of have to not have to worry about that anymore. Because like going to the dentist, not having dental insurance is a nightmare. And so it was great for that. And it was really nice to have, you know, a steady paycheck again. But then also still be able to, if I have the, you know, mental capacity to do a big sale, then I could do that too. And so it was nice to have both those incomes.
Yeah. It has, there's less to worry about.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Yeah. I would assume. What about socially? Because I know one of the reasons you moved to Orlando was because that's where your support system was. That's where your friends were. And some of the more well-known shops in this niche are your friends with them. So, yeah. And also you were newly single and dating. So how have you adjusted like socially? Was it nice to be around those people more often? Did you meet new people? How has that been working?
Oh my gosh. It was so nice to really have so many people, you know, to support me at that time. Like, yeah, my best friend, Lindsay, who runs Pretty Little Monograms, she moved here a couple months before I did. And, you know, we were like internet friends before that. And we would sometimes our trips would align and we might meet up for, you know, a couple hours or something, but having her here and having her husband, like they were always like my big, you know, I can always count on them if I needed something. And then having all my other friends here, I made friends once I got here. It was kind of like, you know, being somewhere where a lot of people vacation. One of my friends would come down and see us. And then she was like, oh, I'm going to bring my friends that, they work at the parks. They're local. Can they hang out with us? And then I became really good friends with them and they live in my apartment complex. We live in the same building. So it's been really great having them so close by. Like we became such good friends. And it's really nice to everyone that lives here, you know, just to be able to get together on a Saturday night and go walk around Epcot together. And, you know, it's just, we're all friends and it's not really about, I mean, a lot of us do different things. So it's not really about competing with each other, but definitely like supporting each other whenever it's like, oh yeah, sales are really bad this summer. Sales are really, you know, be able to talk about things like that. But yeah, having so many people here and also just being somewhere that a lot of people travel to is really nice just because there's always someone coming to town that can hang out with you.
That's right. But dating wise, I think it's been a different story, has it not?
Oh, it's so bad. Orlando is so bad for dating. And I was coming from Arkansas and I was like, you know what? Surely it has to be better than where I'm coming from. But I mean, I wasn't really dating in Arkansas because I had just become single. But I was like, you know, I'm going to come to Orlando. I'm going to find my like Disney Parks guy and we're going to be good. Like it's just, you know, Orlando's a big city. I'm going to find him and it'll be fine. I did not find him. He is not here, I don't think. But it's been really hard just because, yeah, Orlando is a big tourist destination. So a lot of people you're meeting are tourists or just, you know, it's just they weren't for me, the ones that were local. It just didn't work out.
But it did inspire you to create your own podcast.
It did. So it was a running bit with my friends that I mentioned that live in my apartment complex. They have a podcast and I would always be like, oh, let me tell you about this guy. Or they'd be like, whatever happened to so-and-so? I'm like, oh, well, here's what happened with him. And so they're like, you just need to write a book. And I'm like, yeah, I should, but that's a lot of work. And they're like, well, just make a podcast about it. So it became a bit. And then I was having Thanksgiving with them and we were talking about it. And I was like, I'm going to order my microphone. And so it inspired the Single Writer podcast because I have so many weird and interesting stories of dating in and around theme parks.
You do. I've listened to every episode. A lot of people that listen to this listen with their children. I highly recommend not listening to that with your children, but it is funny to listen to it if you're an adult.
Yes. Yeah. A couple of my friends, they were posting one day and they were like on a road trip with their kids and they're like, oh, we're listening to the podcast. And I go, please tell me they have headphones on. And they're like, oh, yeah. They're fully watching something else on their iPads. They're fine. I'm like, okay, just making sure.
Listen, and as somebody who is also new to dating, it's like, oh gosh, that's mortifying. I hope that never happens to me.
I know. Yeah. And it's like, I was always telling these stories to my friends. You know, I was always kind of like the comic relief or just like, it's just, I always have some weird story has happened. So it's like, well, you know what? I might as well tell other people this because I'm sure other people have similar stories, or at least they get some sort of like entertainment out of my, you know, my troubled dating.
Yes. Well, I do. Because I listen through the episodes. But you are at another chapter in your life, having lived in Orlando now for a couple years. So what are you doing next?
I'm moving away from Orlando. I am going back to Texas, where I'm originally from, but I am going to Austin. So I'm originally from the Dallas area. I'm from Mesquite, home of Alyssa Edwards. And my family's all
for people that don't know, that's a very famous drag queen.
Yes. Whenever I found out she was from Mesquite, I had this newfound appreciation of being from Mesquite. I'm like, it's home of Alyssa Edwards.
It is.
She's a famous drag queen.
Girl, I live in the Dallas area, for people that don't know, and I know people who are friends with her, and it kills me. They taunt me. Look, we're Facebook friends. I'm like, oh gosh, go away. She's amazing. And by the way, just side note, because Casey and I share a love of drag queens, Nina West was on the podcast recently. And
yes,
I happen to have one of your buttons with me that was drag queen and Disney related when I met her last year and gave her the button. And she made a video for you that was so fun.
That was so fun. It made my entire week. I still have it saved in my phone. It's the best. And Nina is just such a bright light, in the Disney community, the drag community. Oh my gosh. That's so great. I've met her once at Parliament House in Orlando, and I was just like, hi, I love Disney and you love Disney. You know, whenever you do these meet and greets and it's I have 2 seconds to tell her why I love her.
Yes. But now if you had the button, you could just say, I'm the one who made that button.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So
she's fantastic. I just thought it was funny that button happened to be in the hotel room. Because I was like, oh, this is perfect. No, I know. No one deserves it more.
I know. And people were like, people kept messaging me. They're like, Nina's wearing your buttons at D23. And I'm like, I know. It's so amazing. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was great.
But yeah, so I'm moving back to Texas. I'm going to Austin. I've always wanted to live in Austin. I almost went to the University of Texas, but I got into the summer school program because whenever I was applying to colleges, you know, UT has always been a really hard school to get into because you have to be in I don't even know what it is now. It's top 2% or something.
It used to
probably
be 10, but they had to cut it back, I think.
Yeah. I think whenever I was graduating, it may have been the top. It may have still been 15. It may have been 10. But I remember I was past that cutoff, but they sent me a conditional admit. Oh, if you go to summer school and you pass summer school, then you can stay for the fall semester. And telling an 18-year-old to go to summer school, I was no, that's okay. So I didn't go to UT, but I always wish that I lived in UT because I would always travel there and I loved it so much. So I'm going back to Texas. I'm very excited to be closer to my family. Because that's been a big thing since living in Orlando, is that especially like during like quarantine and everything, it's been really hard to just be on your own, you know, because when you live in Orlando, I always used to say this, and it's, I mean, not a jab to anyone. I mean, because I've done it too, but I always said that like people move to Orlando to kind of like escape the real world. And during quarantine, like I'm sitting at home doing nothing too. But whereas before, you know, if I have a bad day, you go to Magic Kingdom. If you, you know, just run over to Hollywood Studios and go to Baseline and get a beer. Whereas like, you know, just being here and not having any like kind of support system other than friends. And now I can't even see friends. It's been, you know, it's been harder. And I just really, I miss my family, and I feel like I, you know, I miss Texas. Being a you know, living in like a tourist city, you know, every day of the year, sometimes it gets a little old.
Yeah, I worry that it would make it less special.
Yeah, it really, I mean, it really is, because it's like the thought of going to Disney for a full day is like, I see it as like torture. I'm like, why would anyone make me do this? Whereas before, it's like, I've got 5 full days in the park, blah, blah, blah. And so, and I haven't stayed at a Disney resort in a really long time. I miss staying at Disney resorts because it just isn't like, it doesn't make financial sense to do it as a local. But I really miss staying in resorts. You know, I miss having it be something that I look forward to and I plan. And so it has made it, you know, it has worn off a little bit, but there is something really magical about like being able to, you know, finish up my work for the day, change clothes, and then drive 10 minutes to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, you can do little spurts, like as you can fit it in. It doesn't require a whole planning session to, you know, figure it all out, book the plane tickets.
Yeah, but I don't really get the fast passes. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm really bad about checking. You know, because people say like, oh yeah, you know, just check, you know, being a local, I can just check the fast passes and get whatever I want. You know, maybe I'll get this Flight of Passage fast. It's like, I never got that. Like I was never checking. I wasn't checking all the time just because it was just kind of like, oh, I'll do it later, or, you know, I'll get to it. But yeah, so it's nice to like have the trips where you're, you know, okay, I'm at my 60-day mark. Going to get my fast passes, you know, 180 days. I'm going to get my dining reservations. It's nice to have something to plan and look forward to.
Yeah. So as we're recording this, you're just days away from making the move. And yes, how do the different elements change when you move? Like you've got the full-time job, the button business, the podcast. How does that all work from Texas? And I say that as someone who's sitting in Texas right now.
Yeah. So my job actually went remote back in January. Towards the end of January, we went remote. And so that's when I started kind of thinking about, oh, now I'm not tied to this desk in Orlando. I can really do my job anywhere. And so that's when like I started thinking about coming back to Texas and then thinking about how that would work. And, you know, Texas is kind of the midpoint between, I like to say it's a midpoint, you know, it's a 2-hour flight to Orlando or a 2-hour flight to
Anaheim.
Disneyland, Anaheim. Yeah. So I was like, well, that's doable. And the podcast will be harder just because, you know, I won't be getting as much content as I used to. But I sadly still have a lot of stories that I have not shared yet. And, you know, I think I'll still be able to do it. I'll probably have to take a couple weeks off just because I'm like I've been packing and everything, and I'll still do buttons. And I've kind of, and summer is always actually a very, just even like without, you know, the parks being closed, summer for a lot of small shops is a very slow time because people are no longer planning their vacations. They're usually on their vacations. So Historically, the last couple summers have always been really slow. So I think I'll just take the summer to kind of, you know, look at what I'm selling and revamp and, you know, and I'll probably send buttons to my friends that still live here and be like, hey, can you like just go like take a picture for me?
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be leaning on a couple friends if I need content. But I think, you know, I think if I'll still be able to, I mean, I did it from Arkansas. I was coming to Disney a lot. I won't be coming that much anymore. But I will be coming still, you know, as much as I can and staying at my friends' houses to cut some costs there too. But I'll still be able to do it. I think it'll just be now that I've always, since I've had my full-time job, I've kind of been making my buttons like my fun project, my side project again, and just having both of them. So I think it'll be okay. We'll see what happens, but I'm more, you know, excited to be, to make Disney a vacation again. And, you know, and it's just nice that not everyone can say like, oh yeah, I lived behind Magic Kingdom for 2 years. You know, it's kind of like being a CP, you know, it's like I did my Disney time.
Yeah. So is that how you view it? It was like, it was just a period. It was a period in your life. It was fun. And now it's time for the next chapter.
Yeah. I think, you know, especially like going through something as, you know, a divorce, you know, it's kind of like I needed to kind of have an outlet and do something. And that was what I chose, was to, you know, go live in Disney World. Cause I mean, I didn't have anything holding, you know, tying me down anywhere. And so I was like, this always seemed fun, so I'm going to try it. So this is my next, like, yeah, I think it'd be fun to go back to Texas. And my family is like, please come back to Texas. Like, my dad was so excited. Like, every family member that I called whenever I was thinking about going to Texas, I'm like, I'm thinking maybe I should come back to Texas. Everyone in my family were just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, please. Yes, please. Like, my dad was very excited to have me back, and my sisters are super excited. My grandma keeps asking, she's still coming, right? So everyone's excited to have me back.
I'm glad they're excited to have you back, but how did your friends in Orlando react?
I think they were all kind of understood because, you know, I've always been also like, I also mentioned, I was like, I've always been kind of the third wheel or the fifth wheel with everyone. And so I just feel like everyone's kind of, you know, at different parts in their lives here that I feel like moving here, I've just kind of been like floating along and like not really knowing where my life would take me next. And so I told them all that, and they were like, they were sad for me and being like, well, I mean, you have to come back for this and you have to come back for this. And my best friend Lindsay's having a baby. And so yeah, so soon. I'm so excited. But yeah, so like, she's like, well, you have to come back and see the baby. I'm like, yes, I do. And she's like, and you have to come back for Halloween. I'm like, of course. So, you know, they're sad for me. And that was a really big, stressful thing for me, is like actually telling everyone. It's just because it's like, I'm just really good about bottling up everything and like being like, oh, I'll tell them later. Or like, oh, I'll figure it out. But so once I, you know, did tell everyone, like a lot of my friends were like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, Austin would be good for you. I think that's more your speed. I think that's more like in line with, you know, just kind of, Austin's such a cool place. And mm-hmm. I'm excited to be back or to be there. Whereas like Orlando, like there are some really cool parts of Orlando, but it just like was never really my, you know, my scene other than being at Disney World.
Yeah. I mean, those of us who just go for Disney World just have that view of it, which is not the whole picture at all.
Yeah. And it's just, oh my gosh. Like, it's just, or like I said earlier, Orlando's so big. It's, you know, you could say like, oh yeah, I'm moving to be near Disney. But depending on where you live, like Disney could be 45 minutes away with traffic, or it could be like, you know, or you live near Disney and then you're 45 minutes to an hour away from your job or things like that. Cause everything is just, there's like, whenever I was looking and like deciding where to live in Orlando, I kept asking people because I'm like, I don't know where to live. There's just too many like names here and I don't know what's good and what's not good, or this place seems too expensive. So it's really, that's a big part about moving to Orlando, is really deciding where you're going to live, because it needs to be close to your work, or, you know, you kind of have to make a sacrifice somewhere, like if you want to be close to Disney. So, yeah.
After you move, will you still have an annual pass?
Yes. I mean, that just makes the most financial sense, depending on, like, you know, because if you go to Disney World, like, I know you've always done the math with your website, you know, depending on how many times you go a year, it really, you know, all of the benefits really add up. So I'll definitely be going enough to do the pass. I couldn't see my, like, it would just be crazy to think to not get a pass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really like, are you going to be going enough to justify an annual pass? That's the real question. And yeah, the answer is yes, I guess.
I think so. Yeah. I think, you know, and one of my really good friends, she lives in Iowa, and she comes down, you know, a couple times a year. And so it just makes, like, I'm like, well, like, she does it, and like, I'll probably kind of be on the same schedule as her, you know, trying to come down for each season at least. Like, I could see myself at least coming down at least 4 times a year.
So you're getting ready to move. When do you think your first trip? I mean, I know we're in a weird time, so it's hard to tell. Yeah. What in your mind, what do you think your first trip back will be?
I think it'll be probably for Halloween stuff, which, I mean, in Disney August. Terms can be August. Yeah. But probably, I think I'll probably do so September, fall, if, maybe. You know, if the trajectory is on the way. Yeah, definitely fall. I really, that's one thing I loved about Orlando was Halloween season, because, oh, I just like, I had the best time. Like, I had the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party pass. So it was, you could go to every Halloween party except Halloween night. And it was like $300, which is about 3 parties. I still have Halloween candy from the Halloween party. So I would go to the Halloween party all the time. I had a Halloween Horror Nights pass. So I was going to Horror Nights at Universal. I love Halloween here. It's just, there's always something happening, and it happens from August until November 1st.
Yeah. It's a 2.5-month event.
Yeah. I mean, it's longer than,
so funny to me.
It's like longer than Christmas.
It is. Christmas is only like 6 weeks. So yeah, it's a lot longer. But anyway, well, I hope you do get to take that trip back, and that we'll hear some announcements soon that will allow us all to book our first trip back.
Definitely. And I have a Disneyland. I have the Disneyland Flex Pass as well.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, does this mean that you might go to Disneyland more often? Because you used to do both all the time.
Yeah, I when they announced the Flex Pass, and I had friends that got it, and I was looking into it, I was like, well, this makes way more sense, because I can just schedule, you know, you have to make like reservations, and I'm only going for usually a couple days at a time, or going in times that, you know, I wouldn't need a reservation. And it's really, if you go, you know, twice at like 3 or 4 days, you pay for it. You know, it pays for itself. So I got the Flex Pass, and since it's been kind of, it's basically been prolonged since all the passes are being held. Yeah, I'll have my Flex Pass to go to Disneyland too, because I love Disneyland.
Yes, same. It's one of my goals in life, is to convince Disney World people to go to Disneyland.
Yes, like you have to go. I was listening to your episode with Justin McElroy, and how he has not been to Disneyland, which is wild to me.
I know he has good reasons, but it blew my mind too. But I think he'll like it when he finally gets to go. So
Anytime anyone hasn't been to Disneyland, I'm like, what are you doing? If you're a Disney fan, you have to go to Disneyland. There's so much you have to see. Like, you just have to do it.
It's pure joy. I love it. I love it. I love it. So I know that you share that opinion. I actually have never had a pass, though. I buy new tickets every time.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I have to get the Flex Pass.
Yeah, the Flex Pass is I think it's nice, especially for, you know, people like us that are, you know, like you're going to know ahead of time when you're going. So making the reservations is easy. And I've only used it once so far. And I was kicking myself that I didn't buy it on the trip beforehand, because it would have made sense, you know, because tickets now are like, you know, just the price, it just added up to just get the Flex Pass.
Yep. I'm going to do that math before my next trip.
Yeah, you got it.
I've already canceled one trip there, so hoping there'll be another one before the end of the year. Well, yes. It's been good to talk to you about your journey as a Disney fan, Disney business owner, making all the moves. So I appreciate you coming on when you're in the middle of packing up and getting ready to go.
It's a distraction.
Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram. I am Casey and the Bear. And you can find my buttons at parkboundbuttons.com. And if you are interested in hearing about dating in and around theme parks, we've got Disneyland dates. We have Disney World dates on here. My podcast is Single Rider Podcast.
And I will drop all those links in the show notes so people can click away. Thanks for joining, Casey.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can always check the show notes in your podcast app, or you can go to the website, wdwprepschool.com, click on podcast at the top, scroll down to episode 252. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.